Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Getting you set for all of Sunday's NFL action. It's the Sunday Spread on the BetQL Network with Super Bowl champion Barrett Brooks, Devin Caney, and your host, Sean Bell. Presented by BetMGM.
Welcome to the Sunday Spread. We are finally here. We know who's in the Super Bowl. It's been a long season, an enjoyable season, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of anger, a lot of lost bets, and some won bets. But we're here now. Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks.
There you go.
I didn't forget
you
big dog. Devin Caney, our producer Kevin Lapka, kicking with us on the Sunday Spread presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Once again, last week was a tough week for me. A lot of sweat and bullets. A lot of hoping that you guys didn't text me in the group chain. But here we are. And there's a lot to talk about. Let's begin what we talk about. I want to tell y'all first my story.
Okay.
Because Kevin and I were talking about it beforehand in regards to the Lions 49ers game.
Mm-hmm.
Halftime comes. Mm-hmm. I thought it was over with. I thought it was done so.
Said, this, how? Were you going this, through it because you're a 49ers fan?
Yes. I was going through it. I'm not going to lie to you.
I was loving it.
Sweated through my t-shirt. Put a new t-shirt on. Was like, all right, yo, I'm done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the way championship Sunday and the last couple weeks have landed with the games, because it's a 6 o'clock start, halftime is around where my kid goes to sleep. So the Green Bay game, halftime came, put my kid to sleep. Helped put my kid to sleep. When the game came back on, wife was like, go ahead. Went back to the start of the third quarter. Got to, you know what I mean, skip out on some of those duties. Went back, watched the game. Last week, I said, I don't care. She said, you can go back to your game. I was like, nah, it's okay. I'll finish all the duties here. The team I'm rooting for is getting their ass kicked. Mm-hmm. I'm not even worried about it. At that point, it was 24-7 at halftime, right? So in my mind, I was like, whatever. Like, and I'm the type of person, to keep it honest with you, some of y'all fans call me a punk. If my team or the team I'm rooting for is getting blown out, I'll leave. Mm-hmm. I'll leave the game or stop watching. I don't care. I'm like, I'm not putting, like, some people are like, no, you got to stick through it. I'm not sticking through it.
Oh, no. I get that. And that's honestly my least favorite part about covering the teams that I actually, like, grew up rooting for and loving, because I sometimes want to turn the Eagles off and I can't.
Oh, but you have to.
Like,
yeah.
I have to watch it. And I'll just sit there like, this is horrible. I hate it so much. I'm like, throughout this pretty much whole season, see, when the Eagles were winning, it was horrible. Yes. So I get it. I get it. So I don't judge you for
that.
I'm that
type of person. So I said to myself, when I'm done with this process of putting him to sleep, I'll check back in real quick. But I'll turn it off immediately. I don't care. So come back upstairs, sad, annoyed. It's 24-16. I said, wait a minute. What the hell just happened in these 5-6 minutes that I missed at the beginning of the third quarter because I was lollygagging because I didn't want to continue to see an embarrassment? Mm-hmm. They kicked the field goal, 24-17, and then the fumble happens. The shock on my face, the confusion on my face on what just happened on that game was unbelievable. So then I sat there for the rest of the game in disbelief.
So you didn't think that then it was like you're not superstitious. See, I would have been like, oh, wow, it's bad luck for me to watch. Clearly, I need to leave again and see what happens. Like, I'm shocked that you then continue to watch.
I would want to do that, too.
Right? You're like, well, they're losing horribly, and then I left, and now they're winning, so I guess I got to, like,
I only do that with the Sixers, though. That's the only time I do it. Now, with the Eagles, I won't do it, but I'll do it with the Sixers at a heartbeat.
See, I never do it with the Sixers. I'll do it with, like, Phillies if they're in the playoffs, but especially Eagles. I'll want to do it with the Eagles, but then I'm like, I need someone to tape my eyeballs open sometimes.
You see, the funny thing is I am and I'm not. Like, I fully say I don't believe in that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I'll say I was sitting like this. I'm going back to sitting like
this. See, that, yeah, that's how I am.
Like, I'll do stupid things like that, yeah. But I'm like, I don't believe in it, but then at the same time, I end up doing it.
All players are superstitious. You have your little curses you do. But you know what? And it's funny that you say that you had that attitude, because I'm sitting there the whole time, and I pick my phone up, and no, I'm not texting him. I'm picking my phone up, and I can't text him. If I text him, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I pick my phone up, and no, I'm going to leave it alone. It happened anyway, but still, though, there was no way. Because, I mean, I just knew – there's a way to win, and the 49ers know how to use that way to win.
Mm-hmm.
At no point did I feel like they weren't going to win the game. At no point, because I knew that the way they're built, foundationally, they could come back with big plays. I mean, just looking at that game and really checking it out, like, I knew the play of Brandon Ayuk was going to happen sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that was going to happen. I knew that they were going to do something on defense to cause a turnover. I knew that was going to happen. Just like for the Ravens, I knew that something's going to happen for them just because they didn't deserve to be there. You know what I'm saying? Because I just didn't feel as though.
You didn't feel the Ravens deserved to be there?
No.
You were in on the Ravens.
See. I wasn't on the Ravens because they were a more talented, hard-nosed team. But, you know, we'll get on that because the mere fact that they didn't try to run the ball is just asinine to me.
Mm-hmm.
But back to this 49, yes, I'm not going to text. I'm going to leave this group chat alone. I'm going to leave the group chat alone. I will not text him because I don't want him coming back to me. I'm already mad anyways. So let me leave it alone because I know they're going to win the game. I know they are. They got too much talent not to. They're going to get CMC. They're going to give him the ball. He's going to do something crazy.
A lot of luck was needed for that to happen. But we'll talk more about that game and what that means for the Super Bowl in a minute. But a lot of luck was needed. But I was on my way out. Now, we have the Super Bowl, right? Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers, a rematch of Super Bowl 54. And the funny thing is, this is what everybody's saying. You know what it was like back then, right? 2019 going into 2020. Rest in peace. One of my basketball idol, Kobe Bryant, passes away.
Yep.
Like a week before. I think it was 2 weeks before. The Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. COVID hit. Everything changed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To this day, I had to go to the doctor last week for just a regular, my regular yearly checkup. They're back to wearing masks because things are popping up. Everything changed when the Kansas City Chiefs. So what the people are saying now, the internet street, the Twitter streets, is the 49ers have a chance to right that wrong. That is the 49ers.
Are you saying we have to root for the 49ers? If COVID doesn't happen again?
Everything can be traced back to the Kansas City Chiefs starting their dynasty. If the 49ers win,
I will not let
we can go back to being a proper society.
No. I will not let you fearmonger me into finding a way to root for the 49ers in this one. I won't do it, Sean.
I tried. I'm sorry.
I like being a fan of football when it comes to games like this. I like being a fan of football because I hate both teams. I literally do. So I like being a fan. I like watching the key matchups and stuff like that. And that's what I see when I watch the game. All last weekend, as I was eating my wings, I told you about, and I did it.
Yeah, how'd they turn out? Those wings turned out.
Oh, amazing! In fact, when he went to lay his son down, I had to go back to the kitchen. I had to go get some more ranch sauce for my wings, so I put it in there.
Do you have a deep fryer in your kitchen? Like, how do you get them crispy?
I got a double deep fryer.
Oh wow! Okay,
it's a double one. It's about this big, you know.
So you can do it up
one side. In fact, it's so strong that I can't plug. It's got two plugs. I can't plug it up in one outlet because it'll blow the outlet. I got to use an extension cord from the other side of the room.
Down to a science.
So, yeah, you know, it went down. It went down. And you know, the fact that my son brought his partners over really made me mad because they started eating some of my wings. And I almost fell short by the end of the week. At the end of the game, I almost fell short. I had one wing left. And I finished it off, and I was pretty proud of myself.
Okay, I respect it.
I
respect it. Again, you're gonna have this matchup, and again, we had Hugh coming here the other day. He wanted the total opposite of what happened here. But would you say this is the best possible outcome?
What? Yes. Best possible outcome for who?
For football. Forget your Philadelphia
fandom.
Fandom and bias.
No.
Is this the best possible outcome? Why?
No.
I certainly think it is.
It's two teams that people are so sick of hearing about already.
That's why. I feel like that's a Philadelphia bias, though.
But that's the why this is probably the best. This is the matchup that the NFL wanted in the first place. Like it wasn't until halfway through the season. That too, yeah. At the halfway through the season, that's when everybody jumped on the Ravens bandwagon. They weren't on it at first. Mm-hmm. They weren't on that Lamar stuff. In fact, they probably hated Lamar because he waited so long to get the money. You know what I'm saying? He worked his own contract out and everything else. But it's like, this is the perfect matchup because at the beginning of the year, they get beat up by Detroit. You know what I'm saying? And everybody's saying, oh, they lost their mojo and they're losing all these games. But then the best player and the best coach get it together. And then you got the bullies with the 49ers organization. So this is a great matchup. So to me, it's exactly what the NFL needs. You know, and just like you said, your girl.
Taylor Swift. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a minute, too.
That's the icing on the cake. That's the cherry on top.
I'm just going to say I don't think it's just a Philadelphia thing. Like, this is not an official map, but there is a meme going around. And it was like before the championship games, and it was like people rooting for the Chiefs and 49ers, and it was literally just Kansas, Missouri, and Northern California, and everyone else was Ravens and Lions. I think people just like seeing the underdog win, and they like seeing, you know, some new –
yeah.
Fresh blood in there. Like we've seen this matchup before, literally what, four Super Bowls ago. So I'm just sick of the Chiefs. Like I don't understand how they keep getting away with it. I feel like it's akin to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and like their dynasty when the Eagles finally knocked them off in Super Bowl 52, and it made it all that more sweet because the underdog knocked off the dynasty. Where in this one, there's no underdog to knock off. So it's like, I don't even know who to root for going into it because I don't like either team.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what's funny? Before I get to my answer on that, the funny thing, because Philly, everyone knows Philly and San Francisco, they hate each other, blah, blah, blah. But I said this, shout out to my man, Toot, the barber, was saying this online. I said this to him. Your hate, Philadelphia's hate originates from C.J. Gardner-Johnson, someone y'all hate now.
Why?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Deebo Samuels were the one that got into the fight in that NFC Championship game.
Yep.
Him, Deebo, and then Trent Williams came over and grabbed them all. Then Deebo went on to say, C.J. garbage and James Bradbury is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia right now hates James Bradbury and hates C.J. Gardner-Johnson. So the funny thing is the reason y'all hate the San Francisco 49ers.
No, but that's not the reason. The reason is because they lost so badly and complained and then just said it was because Brock Purdy was knocked out of the game. And if Brock Purdy hadn't been injured, we would have won. They lost by like 20 points. Like, they wouldn't have won. The Eagles were the best team last season.
See, that's an interesting question. Why haven't the 49ers proven that they could have won that game?
What do you mean?
Because their defense was still out there, number one.
Well, let's talk about it because their whole argument is Brock Purdy. If Brock Purdy was there, they would have turned things around.
I don't count. They're different. Both teams are different teams this season, so it's not like it's not the
well,
same.
Well, let's just talk about just the game, though. Just that game. Let's just talk about just that game.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about that game, we're not talking about this year's.
Okay.
This year's.
Okay.
We're talking about the best defense as far as rushing a passer in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That defense right there would have shut Brock Purdy down, even if he was playing there. They had 70 sacks. They'd have beat him up even more.
I disagree.
How do you disagree?
Because, first of all, the 49ers, I understand they're different teams. But who says that Brock Purdy has a bad start and doesn't turn things totally around and starts ripping things to shred? Right? Because they were down, for one, they were down against the Philadelphia Eagles and had a terrible fourth quarter when they played the Philadelphia Eagles, and they were able to come back and destroy. In the Lions game, like they said, in the NFC Championship game, the 49ers were down in last year's NFC Championship 17-7. This year, they were down 24-7, and they were able to come back. Now, it's fair to believe that the Eagles would have won anyway, but the 49ers definitely legitimized their argument by what happened this past Sunday.
But why did they come back? It was not because of Brock Purdy. It was because the Lions made a bunch of terrible decisions and turned the ball over. It's not because of Brock Purdy. If anything, this season, Brock Purdy's proved that he's a system quarterback.
Oh,
he's
we got to stop.
Why?
Brock Purdy, again, we might as well get into it right now. Detroit blew some things with some calls they made and some drops they had. But the 49ers had five possessions, actually six, but the last one doesn't count because they kneeled down. They had five possessions in the second half, right? They scored on all five. Now, some people want to say, hey, that play is luck, and it is luck that Brandon Ayuk, but that was a first down play. Something may have happened then. But those other four possessions, they went all for scores, and they were all off scripted. Brock Purdy was, okay, I'm going to scramble here. I'm going to hit Kyle Juszczyk over here. I'm going to scramble here, hit Kyle Juszczyk over here. I'm going to scramble here and hit Deebo over here. Brock Purdy balled in the second half of that game. It wasn't just Kyle Shanahan because most of the plays were off script. He showed in that game that he can ball off script and win a game for the San Francisco 49ers.
I'll give you that. But they only had one pass rusher worth their salt. We're talking about an Eagles team that had four pass rushers and reserves that could come in. He wasn't doing all that running against the guys there. You said he could run against Hassan Reddick, Sweat, those guys playing in their prime. He would not have made those type of plays. I'm telling you that right now. He would have not made those. And another thing.
I think he would have.
The way the Eagles ran the ball last year, they can't stop the run now. They can't stop the run. You saying they can stop the run?
They were able to stop the run last year. If you want to go back to last year, they were stopping the run last year. Until they got tired. And if Brock Purdy was in the game, they would have never got tired.
Oh, no.
How does Brock Purdy give them energy to suddenly keep playing through four quarters? That makes no sense.
You don't understand this. If there's continued three and outs and three and outs and three and outs and defense continues to be on the field and the time of possession is 40-20, then the defense is going to be tired. If they have their quarterback, then there aren't three and outs. Then there's longer possessions, and now the defense has time to rest, and then they can stop somebody.
They got up on them early.
See, I don't even know why we talked about last year.
Well, no. But regardless, this just proves my point, because what did I say? You said it was because of C.J. Garner-Johnson and James Bradbury. That certainly is a contributing small factor. What started it, the true hate, was 49ers fans and media and players crying for an entire offseason and throughout this past season.
This
and
year, look, we took our medicine.
And they were the better team this season. I will give them that credit. Yeah, but I'm saying that is why we don't like the 49ers.
They cried their way to a Super Bowl.
And then the way that they acted when they came into the link this past season.
And bullied you and
punched you? In all black and tried to mess with the players in warm-ups.
And they succeeded.
It's bad sportsmanship.
And
I don't like
them. Oh, it's bad sportsmanship.
Yeah, and I hate
them. I'm not saying anything.
That's right. They did it all the way to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's why we hate 49ers.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang, 49er gang. We got to take a break. We'll keep going. We'll keep talking. We got to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. We got to talk about Taylor Swift. I've done a 180 on Taylor Swift, by the way. And I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it at all. I'll tell you why, all right? This is a Sunday Spread. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barry Brooks arguing. That's what we do. Welcome back. Sunday Spread. Arguments happening. More arguments happening during the break. That's what we do. That's what we do here. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barry Brooks, Sunday Spread, presented by BetMGM. Before we get into anything else, I'll just end with the question that we were trying to get to about the storyline question before we started going off on a rant and rave about the Eagles versus the 49ers. I do think this is the best storylines to be had. Maybe this is just as a media person. The best storylines between two teams.
Why because is it
the best storyline would have been the Lions who haven't won a playoff game in like 30 years.
No, because to me, dynasties, you need dynasties. You need that, like that. The
yeah, that's why
of dynasty,
the storyline would have been better if it was the underdogs of the Lions trying to knock off. It would have been like Super Bowl 52, like the underdog trying to knock off the dynasty.
But to me, it's one existing dynasty and an emerging one trying to become that dynasty.
Are you saying the 49ers are going to be a dynasty?
They could. I don't know. They have to obviously win one, so I can't put the dynasty word out there. But they've been the four NFC Championship games and five NFC Championship games and two Super Bowls over the last, 5-6 years. Whatever the numbers are, right? So it's 4 out of 5 and two Super Bowls. Yeah, so they are dynastic when it comes to the NFC. It's just factual, right? Like, but they can become that. I know y'all don't like to hear this, but I look at Kyle Shanahan as young Andy Reid. Right, well, Andy Reid's first 10 years.
It's funny that you, because as you were talking about the 49ers, I thought of how many NFC championship games did Andy Reid bring the Eagles to?
Exactly. Four, five, wasn't it?
And it was four they, NFC we are never games. They're never thought of as a dynasty because they lost or they made it to the Super Bowl and then lost.
Yes,
dynasties are for those who win the.
But Super that's Bowl. Why I'm saying the emerging one, the one that wants to win the Super Bowl. If they win a Super Bowl, then they can potentially go on that trajectory, but. Again, y'all don't even let me finish my story statements before y'all cut me off with 49er hate.
Because it's a travesty because I really feel as though it's Taylor Swift that willed him to this damn Super Bowl.
We don't get to Taylor in a second. Let me just finish the storylines, okay? But on top of that,
is their storyline.
You have the baby goat versus Mr. Irrelevant. Like, it's two of the most contrast stories that you can put with quarterbacks, and each one of them can tell a story that's just unbelievable, and that people in the regular normal human being who doesn't watch football can gravitate towards. Like, no disrespect to Detroit, and Detroit winning a Super Bowl would be unbelievable because Detroit's drought. But if I think about, you know, this 58-year-old mom and dad who don't really pay attention to football, and the story that they're gonna have to watch again. This is me growing up. Syracuse University news brain. That's what they want to read about. That's what they want to hear about, this whole Brock Purdy thing. And then Patrick has his own stuff. And again, I think it's also the best quarterback in football against the best non-quarterback in football in this game. Arguably. I know Christian McCaffrey, there's a lot of guys in that you can say, you know, Myles Garrett and all those individuals. But arguably, Christian McCaffrey is the best non-quarterback. So I just think those storylines, there's storylines aplenty here. And along with Taylor Swift.
Willed him to a Super Bowl. That's
horrible. Stop.
That's horrible.
Stop. Don't get me started.
But real talk though, you don't get it. That is a great storyline when you talk about two teams that, you know, two contrasting quarterback styles, the coaching aspect of it. Right now, the best coach Andy Reid has to be the best coach this season. Period. He did the best coaching job getting his guys to a Super Bowl. And the way they were losing, and for him to get those guys playing, they couldn't catch a cold during the season. But now, you know, you got – what was the prop that one catch for 16 yards for Marquez?
I text y'all after that one.
Yes. That one catch, you know, puts him over. You know what I mean? But he couldn't catch a cold all season.
Right, good job, kid.
You know what I'm saying? Rashee Rice. I mean, and I'm really tripping off of the whole storyline with the receiver that, you know, at this point, he just says, oh, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm just going to talk crazy. You know what I'm saying? They just not playing me. Why do you do that? You just committing career suicide.
Oh, they benched him. He's done.
Who? Oh, Kadarius Toney?
Yeah.
I don't even see him on the roster. I mean, he's not even on the reserves.
No, he didn't dress.
They just flat out cut him off the roster?
They dress. Because there was something where they said they put him on the injury report, and he tweeted out or commented out that I'm not injured. They're not telling me.
Yeah, call them liars and everything. How do you just commit career suicide? Like, he's a young man, and he got drafted in the first round. He already blew his, you know, his shot with the Giants, then come to the Chiefs, about to win a ring, and he's going to talk crazy like that?
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro. That's absolutely crazy.
But let me say this, Dev. I told you earlier, I've done a 180. We had a lot of hate for Taylor. Mm-hmm. I did a 180 mm-hmm. on Taylor this week. Now, and it's annoying.
Meaning that you were against it.
And now I am.
You're a fan of hers, or like you're okay
fully,
with it?
I fully support
her and Travis.
I never, like, that's the thing. People who were saying, like, oh, how do you not support love? I was never about her and Travis being together. It's about the amount of attention the NFL was giving her the annoyance of it. That's what it was. Because I try to tell people, because I feel like the conversation went tenfold this week, where you had Colin Cowherd and everybody having long diatribes.
It was becoming like a serious debate on national sports television, radio shows. And it's, to me, it's like, what are we doing here? First,
I'll say why the real annoyance is, which is I don't think they were understanding. It's not because they're together and there's a love story. Nobody cares about that. And it's not because the amount of time that she was sent on the screen. Because I said something on social media, and I had her fans attacking me saying she's only been shown for 45 seconds. Like, they know down to the seconds how long you show. It's the fact that the commentators keep talking about her. Now they're playing her songs. Now it's all here. Now it's all that. Even my wife was like, I don't watch football. I know way too much about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and his brother. Like, she's like, why is this? This is annoying me, right? Like, I don't even want to see this. It's against my will. But anything that's thrown in my face too much, I don't want to see it. Like, my favorite actor of all time is Will Smith growing up. I don't want to hear a freaking word about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett. Right? Like, overexposure is a thing.
It is.
Kevin Hart at one point was having 2 stand-ups and 3 movies a year. And I was like, no more Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Right? It's overexposure. So Taylor was being overexposed. But here's the dilemma I have, y'all. I hate when this happens. When I dislike something, but the people I dislike start hating on the thing that I dislike. So now I have to like the thing I disliked because the people I dislike.
Enemies.
Exactly. People I dislike now like it. And that's where I'm at. I'm like, all right, now you're getting all these political individuals coming in and throwing shade at Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Now you're getting all the misogynists coming in, throwing hate. Now you got these weird AI things with Taylor Swift.
The old fogey, I watch football with football.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you're getting all these idiots coming in for different reasons than me, bagging on Taylor Swift. And now I'm like, damn it, now I have to support her.
Yeah.
Now I have to be like, I'm with you, Taylor. Show her and talk about her just so I can piss off my haters. Mm-hmm. Now, Hugh Douglas said that was petty of me, but it is what it is. If someone I hate starts hating something I don't like, then I'm gonna start liking that thing. I'm like, you know what? I can't be on the same side as you. So that's where I'm at with Taylor Swift at this point.
I fully agree with you on that. I know we got heated talking about it last week, but that's the thing. Like, I've always been a fan of Taylor Swift and her music. Like, I went to her. I've gone to multiple concerts of hers over the years. And it was never about her and Travis Kelce either. Like, I never care about celebrity relationships or anything. But it was more so like when something's just thrown in your face over and over again, like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith is a perfect example. It's more so Jada, though, is her podcast. Yeah, she just go on there and like spill the most unwarranted details, unsolicited details. It was just too much. And I feel like that's the case with Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, and Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has always been overexposed, though. She's literally the most famous person in the world right now. And eventually someone else will, come along and we won't be talking about it. Just so happens now the Chiefs are going to Super Bowl. I love that I see people being like, Taylor Swift is using that Gisele Bündchen, like, witch magic, whatever she did for Tom Brady. I don't think that's the case. Like, it's just getting out of control where it's, like, the government stuff and, like, the conspiracy theories. So... And then, especially for me, like the misogynist, like I gotta stay with my girl Taylor now and be like, guys, like it's and she, it is not. And I did say this last week; it's not in her control. Taylor Swift is, trust me, she doesn't need the publicity. Like, she's turned down the Super Bowl, I think, at least 10 times over the years. Like, she doesn't need the NFL. The NFL needs her, and
absolutely,
I don't blame her.
I mean,
at all
I think they
it.
Both greatly benefit absolutely. From it.
Yeah,
because it's still the NFL, so you, it's still.
I don't think.
I don't think
Taylor
PR
Swift
move.
Benefits from it that much.
Well, she's like number one box office. Concerts. Like, she's supposed to be like in Japan or China or something like that around the time of Super Bowl. Like, well, how is she gonna get back?
She's a private jet.
She don't. Yeah. No, she doesn't have a private jet. She has a private plane, like the big plane, like You know, it's not like the gold wing of, you know, what they have, like the little private jets.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
She's got the big chunk.
I'm not saying she needs it. I'm just saying it's always great PR.
Bro, he's out kicking
the
his
NFL
covers.
Brand.
Well, and
be on the NFL brand.
That's another positive from it. Like the stories that I've heard from like friends of mine and people who haven't even been into football before, or even people with little girls who are fans of Taylor Swift, they're like, oh, my daughter's been watching football more because they want
opening
to see Taylor Swift. So
yeah.
It is bringing in, you know, new younger eyes, especially with little girls, and that's important. Yeah. I don't think that was Taylor Swift's goal going into this, It's an added benefit.
Because I really thought, I'm like a lot, I thought it was propaganda. I thought it was just fake news about, you know, these two being together, you know. I'm hearing people, even at the station we work at, saying, oh, no, that's a farce, you know, there's nothing true about it. And it's like real. To tell you the truth, I'm just like gone with the wind, you know. Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. I don't care about that. And you can't even make any prop bets with it now because they're saying that a producer has too much power to influence that and could, you know, say and will that money from you know.
Yeah, when it comes to how much he is shown, a producer can.
Betting on how much, betting, like there's some bets
with
Taylor
Swift.
I didn't know
that
was a
legitimate thing. Yeah, there's a lot of bets that can go around Taylor Swift with this. There's a bet of will Travis Kelce propose?
Yes.
If he wins the Super Bowl.
Yes.
I forgot what the odds were. The odds were like 13. Like it's something not that plus 190.
I've heard a lot. I didn't know that was a bet. But I've heard a lot of like, oh, they win, he'll propose at the parade. I'm sorry. That is like,
even if you're
not famous, people know, at least girls that my friends know, and I agree with this, that any sort of proposal that is based around or happens at a live sporting event or parade is like the tackiest thing that you can possibly do. And I don't think Travis Kelce, and the most famous woman in the world right now would do that.
So what if
public proposal?
What if it's on the 13th, though?
No, why?
Her favorite.
Wow, look at you knowing these.
Why do you
details?
Know this?
Bruh, I have been overdosed with it. Oh, and also, I got to say, Kadarius Toney is on the roster still. I'm sorry. But, yes.
Back to football, which we should get back to.
It's crazy, but I don't really care. You can show all you want to, just as long as you don't miss any plays on the football.
You know what? Enough of this. All right, we spent way too much time on this Taylor Swift stuff, but I had to say that I went back. The Baltimore Ravens. We'll spend the last 2 minutes on that real quick. What's their issue?
You know what? Can I ask one question regarding the two championship games? Just really simple. Mm-hmm. Who are you more disappointed in after last weekend, the Lions or the Ravens?
I would say the Ravens.
I agree.
The Ravens.
As a whole, it has to be the Ravens.
I would say that, you know, Dan Campbell was playing Dan Campbell football. He's like Riverboat Ron. He wants to, you know, make sure that he's giving his team every opportunity to be aggressive. He was just being uber aggressive. But the Ravens, they just, I mean, I don't want to say it, but down their leg, they just really, they didn't run the ball. Too many penalties. Too many stupid penalties. There's penalties, and then there's stupid penalties.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, pushing a player. Stupid penalty. Getting up and taunting a guy. Stupid penalty. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they killed themselves. I mean, I can understand.
Fumbling the ball in the end zone.
He's reaching for it and it gets knocked out. I understand stuff like that.
But see, Baltimore and Detroit did stupid things, but Baltimore is the veteran team. Detroit is the young team that just got here. The Baltimore team, you expect to have some veteranness about them. And I know Zay Flowers is the rookie, the young cat, so he's young. But the entirety of the team is a bunch of vets who've been here before who you expect to be there. Like Detroit, you go – all right, you may have pissed down your leg, but you're young. It's the first time being here.
You should
be a thing from here on out. But Baltimore is like, nah, dog.
Got an old coach.
This your time right now. And I know Lamar is only 26, so he's still got a lot of time. But he was like, yo, this was as good as it gets. All right,
Odell's pissed.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back to it. Get away from the Taylor Swift segment. We'll get back to what happened with Baltimore and go over some of the odds, touchdown odds, Super Bowl odds, et cetera, going into this game, the Super Bowl. All right, Sunday Spread. Be right back. Welcome back to the Sunday Spread. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks. The weekend before the Super Bowl. We got all the awards coming up. I'm just annoyed because I bet Christian McCaffrey to win MVP.
Yeah, didn't you have the opportunity to cash out on that too earlier? Yeah. And we were like, no, don't cash out. Well, actually, I think you convinced yourself to not cash out on that.
But it was only for a few dollars. It wasn't like...
It was like, what, $20?
Yeah, it was only like... I don't remember what I got to bet because I stopped looking at it a long time ago because I knew I was going to lose. But it was like, I bet $20 and it would have been cash out at $40. And it was like, all right, like...
It really depends on when the cutoff line is when you could, you know, really vote on it. Because, I mean, if you still look at it, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, it's been neck and neck with those two. I think it's been neck and neck with those two.
Well, it's regular season. Now, if it went into the playoffs, then I think Christian McCaffrey would win.
So do you remember when we were talking about MVP awards? Like, I forget when. Earlier in the season, it could have been when we were discussing if you should cash out or not. I personally just, like, don't. I get why these awards are important, and you know, obviously, winning Most Valuable Player is an honor. But I personally just don't care that much because it's the regular season, and look at where we're at. So Lamar Jackson is probably going to win, and as he should through the regular season. What's everyone going to remember about Lamar Jackson from this season?
Him
choking in the AFC Championship,
absolutely,
against the Chiefs, and not playing well, even though he's going to win MVP. So I think that's why these awards, especially being regular season awards, like to me, just never seem as important as it is to perform and to go out and win it all in the Super Bowl with your team rather than the individual awards.
I think
to the player, it means a lot.
To the player, but I'm also sure Lamar would prefer to win a Super Bowl.
But it's also tied, you know, it might be tied to their contracts or something like that.
Yeah. Also. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I also think it's, and it's probably more so actually in basketball than it is the football, but an individual wants those awards because some of the team stuff is like, that's out of my control.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so it's just like, all right, like, I'm not going to win MVP. Like, I was the best player in the world, but my team didn't get it done. Like, and I know that I'm part of the team, but I should still be recognized as the best player in the world as opposed to not because my team failed. Like, for instance, Jared Goff. His team failed him.
Absolutely. And his coach.
Right? Like, and his coach failed him.
Yes.
So for him, it would be like, I would want all those regular season accolades because I want people to remember that my season was this.
Right.
Because me not going to the Super Bowl wasn't on me. I played at that upper echelon level when it mattered. So I think that's, and again, in Lamar's case, it's not the case. But I think that's the
I think Jared Goff isn't the type of quarterback. Like, Lamar is a game changer.
Yes.
Like, he changes the game for his... What's that?
I said, okay, Cam.
But he does. Where Jared Goff, no disrespect, he's a great quarterback, but he's not... Like, he wasn't in the MVP conversation.
No, I meant...
Despite the Lions being good.
I didn't mean this exact thing. I meant for those... I think the regular season awards are for that situation.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right? Like, and I get that.
If Lamar had done everything, but his team failed him, he shouldn't have been penalized and not won the MVP because his team failed him. Like, if he was in that scenario. So I think that's why the regular season awards matter to people, and that's why they want to win it for those circumstances.
And I totally get that. My point is just, I think, to me as an individual, when I'm, like, I don't get excited or worked up over MVP as much as other people do. You know, like, if I'm a Ravens fan, Lamar winning regular season MVP is not going to comfort me given their loss that they just had.
That's that Joel.
I mean, it's like...
Exactly. And I know I say that because I live it. I'm a Sixers fan.
Right.
I literally lived it last season before.
I still won all those awards. I'll say this. I'm going to give Lamar Jackson some love. Like, Lamar's 26 years old.
That's crazy.
Like, I want people to stop acting like he still can't get over the hump or be that guy. Right? He's 26.
Which is crazy. I feel like he's been in the league for a long time.
Right? 26.
6 years, right?
With two MVPs.
Basically six years.
2 MVPs. And so it's not like he could, like, because some people are like, oh, he can never get over the top. He can never win. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of the outliers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, every other QB usually doesn't win until their 30s. So with, like, Peyton Manning didn't win a Super Bowl until he was 29, turning 30. Like, a lot of these other quarterbacks don't win until they're in their 30s. John Elway didn't win until he's in his 30s. Mm-hmm. So I say all that to say Lamar deserves the criticism he's getting now. But there's far too many people acting like, oh, this guy can never be a winner. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, let's relax. He's 26 years old. Let's get a man some time. Every other champion, Stafford won when he was 33.
And this is the first time they gave him good enough receivers to help him out. Mm-hmm. They gave him some receivers. It's like, for instance, to me, Barry Sanders all them years should have been MVP. I mean, 2,000 yards, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but his team always sucked. You know, so, I mean, even with the Giants, with Saquon Barkley. It was Saquon Barkley left. Saquon, every game that they won, Saquon balled in. They didn't have anybody to help him. But he put up, you know, from what he had and the position he was in, mm-hmm. he should be an MVP candidate because he had nothing around him. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you know.
Let's take a look at some of these odds for Super Bowl MVP since we're talking MVP. Patrick Mahomes is plus 125. Brock Purdy plus 220. Obviously, the quarterbacks are the quarterbacks. Christian McCaffrey plus 450. Travis Kelce 14-1. Isaiah Pacheco 35-1. Ayuk 51. Debo 35-1. All the way on down the line. Dev, mm-hmm. who you liking for that?
All right, I'm going to go out of the box here with my selection. I'm going to go with Isaiah Pacheco. Plus, it's really good value. I think that he, watching him play, what did someone say? Runs like he's angry at the ground. Like, I actually really enjoy watching Isaiah Pacheco play. And I think that he has been a game changer for the Chiefs as they've been utilizing him more and more this season because their, you know, passing game struggles that they've been facing that have improved. But I could see Isaiah Pacheco having a really good game on the ground against this 49ers defense and being the game changer and the most valuable player on the field out there, even more so than Patrick Mahomes for the Chiefs.
Mm, that is pretty good.
Okay.
With me, man, I'll tell you what. I think the best odds for somebody, and the same odds as Isaiah Pacheco, would probably be Deebo Samuels. Hmm. He can change the outlook of a game. If he gets going, he's virtually unstoppable. And they get it to him in so many ways as far as jet sweeps, screens, you know, tunnel screens. He's a deep threat. He can run in the middle of those routes in the middle of the field. He could be somebody that could really, really take a game over, and he could win it, you know. So, I mean, I would take Deebo Samuels with, you know, 3,500. But I think that one of the best odds, if you want to get really, really milk it, Rashee Rice.
Ooh.
60 to 1.
Yep, 61 odds.
You could bet like a dollar on that.
Right.
Win something.
Exactly. You know, so I mean that's really the second threat on that Kansas City offense. So I mean, he could light it up. I could see him having 150 yards.
Christian McCaffrey. Y'all went outside the box. I'm going.
No, that's a good one. I wanted to leave that one for you.
Yeah, I'm going to norm. Christian McCaffrey.
You got to put so much down to win anything.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still plus 450. So it's not anything crazy, but Christian McCaffrey is the bell horse. And I know Kansas City is great at stopping a run. As Baltimore, they didn't even try to run. I don't know why. But Christian McCaffrey is going to get the rock one way or the other. Coming out of the backfield, being a flat-out wide receiver. He's the MVP of that team. He was the MVP if they had an MVP for the NFC Championship game. You just know. And the anytime tutty.
Right? Goes without saying.
Christian McCaffrey. So you know he's going to get one. And you, mm-hmm. who was it you that yeah. texted like, oh, two touchdowns for CMC? Like
mm-hmm. You said it was going to be two touchdowns. And that was a safe bet for me. You know, he's that dynamic of a player.
Two touchdowns. Kev brought it up last week and was like, I was like, I don't know. I like it, but I don't know.
I should have done
anytime
that.
Anytime you
didn't.
Bet two touchdowns, I didn't end up betting.
Yeah. Well, because the Lions defense was better against the run than it was against the pass, so I wasn't sure if he was going to get two.
Well, look at this, though. Look at the defensive player odds. And I think, you know, you're talking about three guys on that list that could no doubt be that. And that's Chris Jones, Nick Bosa, and Snead.
Those odds are crazy.
Crazy. But look, I mean, Nick Bosa can take a game over.
He had two sacks last week.
Chris Jones took the game over against the Ravens.
But you know how much a defensive player has to do?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
What's the last defensive player to win Super Bowl?
I'm literally looking it up right
okay,
now.
Okay, I was doing the same thing. Like,
what? Or even someone who's just not. Von Miller.
He just did it. He just did it a couple years ago.
Well, it's Super Bowl 50, so like 8 years ago.
Oh, okay. 8 years ago?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
That is
eight
crazy.
Years ago Von Miller did that? Like, I'm old. That, yeah, I'm sorry. I am so old. That
he was
feels
sandwiched
like a couple
years ago. By Tom Brady. Tom Brady won 49 and then 51.
We just messed something up. It's in our it's one of our trivia questions. Kev just texted
oh,
us.
Oh no.
We just put it out. See, Kev, I'm sorry, Kev. We're cheating. We're gonna jump on things on these trivia questions. But
Chris Jones is legitimate just from who he is and how he impacts games. He could make it rough on your boy.
Let's go here real quick. We only got a couple of minutes. Touchdown scores. Who would you bet to make touchdowns? And would you do a same game any parlay and do multiple touchdown scores in this game?
I don't know. Because those have been – actually, I had a little just two touchdown parlay that hit last week. It was one of my few that hit. And it was Brandon Ayuk and who else? Who got a touchdown for the Chiefs? Maybe it was Travis Kelce. I don't know. Something easy.
Kelce's would be easy.
So Travis I like maybe just double down and do that one again. But like Christian McCaffrey is probably your safest bet if you're going to take anyone for a touchdown.
He's -210. Travis -110.
I would do
Pacheco -135.
Christian McCaffrey and I say Pacheco, and maybe Travis Kelce.
I would do McCaffrey, Kelce, and Debo.
I would do CMC, Pacheco, and Kelce.
Okay, you picking all the top ones right there,
and that's because you talking about safe bet money, that's a safe bet.
Well, Pacheco didn't get one last week too. That messed me up. He's due.
Well, and I think that's the Achilles heel of the
49er
defense.
Yeah,
they can't stop the run for nothing. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we get back, it's trivia time. We already messed up one for Kev, so Kev's gonna come back when we get in and break down all the rules. For a little fun trivia for us. See who knows a little bit more. I'm be honest with you. I'm always dead last in these trivia stuff. So
I'm listening.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the opposite of an elephant?
A what?
The opposite of an elephant.
Probably a turkey.
Well, I have the memory of a turkey.
Well, I'm listening. I got hit in the head too much CTE or whatever. Okay.
Sunday Spread coming up. Coming up next, Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks. Welcome back to the Sunday Spread. Barry Book, Sean Bell, Devin Caney, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. It's the week before the Super Bowl. All right, so this week we're going to have a little fun. We're going to play a little Super Bowl trivia. So Kevin, our producer, Kevin Lapka, is going to come in and explain what's going on and may the best person win.
All right, I don't know if Barrett's going to have an edge on these because there's a lot of historical categories here. So Barrett, I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying you're probably like -200 to win this game. So the pressure's on you.
All right, Kev. Kev, now I need you to put a score on all of us. He's -200. What are me and Deb?
I'm like +5,000. Right. I'm really bad at historical sports stuff.
Well, Sean said beforehand he's a turkey when it comes to betting. So we'll go Sean is +800. Dev, okay. Based on your confidence right there, we'll go +900 for Dev and -500 for Barrett. That's
wow.
Hey,
all
right.
Love being an underdog. Well, let's go.
We'll start off with a softball category here. Patrick Mahomes became the eighth quarterback to have started in four Super Bowls. Name the other seven quarterbacks to start in four Super Bowls. Barrett, we'll start with you, then we'll go with Sean and Dev. So name one of the other seven quarterbacks you think
okay.
who have started.
So you just naming one, Barrett, and we'll go around. All right, gotcha.
I'm going to say, of course, you know, you got Tom Brady.
Okay.
That is correct.
That started in four Super Bowls.
Yes.
Okay, Joe Montana.
Correct.
Peyton Manning.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness. Man, starting four Super Bowls. Kelly.
Correct. Jim Kelly from the Buffalo
Jim Kelly.
Bills.
Yep.
He was in. Oh, obviously. All right. Terry Bradshaw.
Correct. You guys might get through this entire category. All right, Dev.
Is there? There's one more.
There's two.
Two more. Oh my gosh. Is there a time limit on how long I have to think about this?
I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
Okay. I know, that's the thing that's hard about this, like the silence. I don't have time to really ponder. Can I pass? I don't know. I don't want to. I don't want dead air. Out.
Two left. All right, Barrett.
Oh, my goodness. 4 Super Bowls.
Three seconds.
He's out.
Incorrect.
Well, Steven.
Oh, I'm wrong anyway.
Sean, to win the category.
John Elway.
Correct. I don't know how nobody said Elway earlier. The last one was Roger Staubach.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten the last one. But that, I was like, my brain was going towards through like commentators for some reason, like guys who are still currently calling the game.
I think because everybody was thinking about,
kept popping up.
Everybody kept thinking about winners.
Yep, that's what it is.
I think about losers too. Mm. As soon as you said Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, that's when Johnny Boy popped in my head. And wait, the final one is, let me see if I can guess the final one.
You just said it.
Oh, Roger Staubach. Okay.
See, you remembered that he said it. You were about to pull a fast one on us. Look smart.
Okay. All right. What's up? What's next?
All right. So you kind of spoiled this one. The category, I hope you didn't look at the articles you guys were looking at for too long, because the category is defensive players to win Super Bowl MVP. Okay. So obviously we'll cross off Von Miller. We mentioned that in the last segment. He's the most recent one to win MVP in Super Bowl 50 for the Denver Broncos. But there have been 8 other players to win Super Bowl MVP as a defensive player. We'll start with Sean because he won the category. Cheers. Then we'll go to Dev and Barrett. Sean, defensive players to have won Super Bowl MVP. You will begin.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm drawing a complete blank. Like, I just want to name a great player off the bat.
It's a really hard category.
It's oftentimes not a great player. Like, I know like Green Bay may have had one.
It's a very hard category.
Malcolm Butler?
No. He did not win Super Bowl MVP that year. I got to double check who did, but
I think it's
the list
Brady.
I'm looking at does not have Malcolm Butler. I believe Brady still won it that year, which is probably wrong, right? I mean, it's probably wrong, but no, that is incorrect. So Sean's out.
I'm out already.
Dexter Jackson, Tampa Bay.
That is correct. Pulling that one. That. Wow, a safety.
That's good.
Wow. That's all I got, though. That's it. I'm done after that.
I'm impressed to remember Dexter Jackson. That is impressive.
One just popped in my head. Brown from the Cowboys.
Brown from the Cowboys. Larry Brown?
Larry Brown, yes, from the Cowboys.
Correct. We'll give that to you. Close enough. Cornerback of the Dallas Cowboys, Larry Brown, did win it. Super Bowl XXX. So let's try to figure out that Roman numeral.
XXX.
Let's go now. So Sean's out. So we're back to Dev. There's still, I believe, 6 remaining.
I don't know.
No, you're passing.
Come on, throw out a name, Dev.
All right. So it was before Super Bowl XXX?
No, there's some after that. There's a few after that. There's some big-time Hall of Fame players that have won Super Bowl MVP that you should know.
Defensive Hall of Fame players who won Super Bowl MVP?
Mm-hmm.
Which of the Barber brothers played defense? Ike Reese on time. Yeah, Rondé Barber.
No.
Just going with another Tampa Bay player.
Rondé Barber did not win Super Bowl MVP.
Hello.
We live.
Wait, can I phone a friend? Can I phone a friend for this? Ike Reese, former defensive player. Who is a defensive player that won Super Bowl MVP? Ray Lewis?
That is correct.
Correct.
Ray Lewis, Super Bowl MVP.
Does that count for me?
Yeah. All right. I'll just go.
I could have given you another one.
Reggie White.
Reggie White.
He did
not win Super Bowl MVP.
Nope.
No. Mm-mm. He did not. He didn't.
No, Desmond Howard won the MVP in that Super Bowl.
Oh, he did for the two returns.
Yeah.
Right.
You need one, Sean?
I'm already out.
He's already out.
Oh, you're already out?
I said Malcolm Butler, and I didn't realize.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Richard Dent.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, all right. So wait.
Reese just won this category.
How
many more can you name? How many we got left?
I think we have we've got four left.
Yeah,
four
but
left.
He could also say the ones that we already got.
Okay, you said Larry Brown?
Yeah,
I said
Larry.
Oh, yeah. You said Malcolm Smith?
I don't think anyone.
Nobody said Malcolm Smith.
Is that correct?
Seattle.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
Come on, man.
See?
Thanks.
Oh, Ike. That is Ike Reese,
so
94
Ike
WIP
just won
employee,
that category. There you go.
A former Eagle, came in here. Former Falcon too, came in here and just dominated. He sounded like he was gonna know everybody.
He did. He didn't get the one
else,
that I got.
Who else?
These former Eagles keep crashing our show. It's 2 weeks in a row now.
Jeez Louise. All right, so I guess who else we got? Wait.
Did LT win one?
Lawrence Taylor?
No, the other ones remaining that you did not name, these are some oldies. Harvey Martin, defensive end of the Cowboys, won it.
Don't even know who that is.
Wait, I think you know what? I think Randy, this does, did they like have a co-MVP that year? So Super Bowl XII, you said Randy White, right, Barrett?
Yep.
They were co-MVPs that year, so I'm mistaken. It says here, Harvey Martin, Cowboys defensive end, and Randy White, Cowboys defensive tackle, were co-MVPs. Super Bowl.
No, I said Reggie White. I'm sorry.
You said Reggie.
Oh, you said Reggie.
Reggie White.
My bad. Okay. So so there was those two, Chuck Howley, Cowboys linebacker, and then Jake Scott, Dolphins safety. So some oldies. That's why I said.
That was a hard-ass like, category.
I can't believe Reggie White didn't win it because he finished the game out. And I forgot that Howard. I played with Dez when I was in Detroit. He won it because he had those two huge returns.
Yep, 244 all-purpose yards and 199-yard kick return TD for Desmond Howard in that Super Bowl. All right, let's go to a similar theme with this category. So it's the same thing with Super Bowl MVPs, but this is non-QB offensive players. So offensive players win Super Bowl MVP, but not QBs. So there's a larger list to choose from. I don't have the exact number, but there's a lot more players in this sample pool of offensive players win MVP who are not QBs. So we'll start with...
I'm annoyed right no now, one won that. Right? Like, now, okay. I got to
we'll
really
start
think.
With Dev. We'll start with Dev.
Wait, sorry. So it's offensive players who won Super Bowl MVP?
Non-QB offensive players.
Okay. Who played in the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Was that when the Rams won? It was the Rams. Cooper Kupp.
Yes, correct. Barrett.
Jerry Rice.
I assume so. Yes, Jerry Rice. He had 215 yards in Super Bowl XXIII, which I'm not going to do the math there. Huge game. Sean.
Okay. Now I'm trying to go to a Rolodex of who won the Super Bowl and who may have won the MVP. I'm not sure on anything. Emmitt Smith?
Emmitt
Smith. Yes.
Easy. Okay, that was easy.
That was going to be my second and last guess, so I got nothing.
Come on, you got to throw a name out there, Dev. No.
Right, fine,
Devin's
fine,
not
fine,
out.
Fine,
you got to throw a name
right,
out
let me
there.
Think, let me think.
I believe in you.
I feel like I need the, like, do-do-do-do music. I think of running backs. I feel like it's usually running backs, right? I don't know.
She's out.
You took my Emmitt Smith answer, and now I'm lost.
Sorry.
I mean,
Barrett.
Yeah. No.
T.O. Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens. No.
He never
won a Super Bowl.
I thought he only went with the Eagles, right?
I thought he won one of the...
No?
Oh, I'm out.
I can't believe it.
All right, Sean, to win the category, you just got to get one.
Terrell Davis.
Correct. Terrell Davis.
I got it right here.
Other notable ones you did not list. Julian Edelman for the Patriots. Deion Branch for the Patriots. Hines Ward for the Steelers. You said Emmitt Smith.
In my damn
Jerry
Super Bowl.
Rice.
Hold on, man. That's Marcus my Super Bowl. Allen. How could I not get my Super Bowl?
Wait, when did Julian Edelman win? What Super Bowl is that?
Super Bowl 40.
He made the catch.
Are you kidding me?
You didn't get your own Super Bowl. That's sad.
Right. My own Super Bowl.
Who was the Giants running back that won it in 86?
I believe. Juice. Not Juice, but that was what was it?
Didn't the Giants running back win it in 86? Or yes. Was that 92?
Phil Sims won it the year after the Bears did in 86.
Oh, what about
now? Otis Anderson?
The kickoff returner from Otis Anderson.
Okay.
The kickoff returner for for the Bears.
And you said defensive players last category, right? Mm-hmm. And you said Desmond Howard?
I guess that doesn't really count because he's a specialist.
But he was a wide receiver and a specialist.
Wouldn't he be didn't say in Desmond this Howard.
Oh, okay.
Maybe yes, he would be in this category. He would technically be the
Oh, yeah. Desmond
that's
Howard,
the name I would have had next.
Yeah,
that's the name I would have had next.
The KR looks – I'm looking at a list of them now. The KR looks really funny. Because it's just like quarterback, kick returner.
No, the Bears, he returned a kickoff or a punt.
Devin Hester didn't win.
Oh, okay. Didn't win.
Come on, Barry. You're thinking of losers right now. Sorry, Kev. Sorry.
This was -500 Barrett Brooks to win the game. All right, so we have – so Sean, have you won two categories or have you – I lost track.
Did anyone win the defensive player? I feel like Ike just won that one, so
we'll give that one to Ike Reese. He's on the board. We got one more real quick. We got about 2 minutes left. The Chiefs and 49ers have now rematched in the Super Bowl. There have been 7 other teams in NFL history to rematch in the Super Bowl. So they've seen each other at least twice in the big game. We'll start with you, Barrett. Name one of the other 7 Super Bowl rematches in history.
You know, I have to go to the most recent. Well, the second most recent one is the Giants and Patriots.
Correct.
Dallas and Buffalo.
Correct.
Eagles, Patriots.
Correct.
Now it's getting tougher. Rams, Raiders.
Incorrect. Rams, Raiders.
Isn't it Dallas Raiders played each other twice in the 70s?
No, not Dallas Raiders either. Dev, you can win the category if you get one of the other 4 remaining teams or 4 remaining matchups there have been rematches in the Super Bowl.
Well, I feel like you're hinting that it is the Raiders. I don't know if you're allowed to give me a hint. Yeah?
I'm not saying anything.
Oh, no, Barrett.
I got it also. I'm stupid for saying that.
Did someone say Packers Raiders already?
No.
Packers Raiders?
Is that no? You are all out. Steelers Cowboys.
So we don't wait. We don't. Up.
I thought you Steelers, the way you made it. So I was gonna say. Well, I don't even. Is this correct? Steelers,
we don't keep going Steelers, to see if someone Packers? Wins since everybody was wrong.
Sure, we can. All right, we can keep going. We'll go back to Barrett then. There's 4 teams left. Okay, 3. I said Steelers Cowboys. I revealed that one. There's 3 other ones. These are pretty tough. If one of you gets one of these, there's 3
Minnesota
left.
Raiders.
Vikings no.
Raiders.
Well, it's all teams that are still in the league, right? Like, it's not like any crazy,
yes.
Like, okay.
Forty Niners Bengals.
Yes, that is correct. Ooh. 49ers Bengals twice. XVIXXIII. That is impressive. There's two more. If you want to, we'll get Sean won the category and he won the segment. Sean killed it at plus 8,000 or whatever.
Right.
Matt, anybody want to take a shot at the elite teams? We got like 30 seconds.
Recent matchup. Broncos, Rams. I don't know.
No.
Recent, as in the 2000s?
Packers, Steelers.
No. Yeah, pretty recent, couple of years ago. Rams-Patriots. Rams-Patriots happened twice. And then Dolphins versus Washington, since they have a million different names. That also happened twice.
That was in the 80s?
So there you have it. Those are the categories.
All right.
Well, I did not prove the doubters wrong on that one. So
I would just like to say thank you to the committee for giving me this award.
Can we go to break here?
And, you know, thank you. For displaying my knowledge that I'm better than everyone else.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that I am elite and I deserve to be here.
And he wonders why we don't like Jeff, San Francisco 49ers.
And
fans.
No one else deserves to be here but me. Okay? You're welcome. The Sunday Spread Trivia Style. All right, we'll be back and we'll talk coaches, coaching changes. I know these two beside me ain't happy with their coaches right now, but, you know, there are some coaches changes and some surprises of coaches that don't have a job. Sunday Spread. Be right back. Welcome back to the Sunday Spread. Devin Caney, Sean Bell, Barrett Brooks, The Weeknd. Now, my theory is this. I'm different from everyone. A lot of people think Bill can't get a job. I think some of these guys, like Ben Johnson, are saying,
"Nah,
here's what I want. Mm-hmm. If I don't get it, I'm not coaching.
Yep.
I'm hot enough to be like, I'll take a year off. Mm-hmm. I don't need that job," which it's kind of baffling because Washington has all new ownership and the second pick in the draft. So to me, that seems like that would be a great job to go into. So I'm not sure why people are balking at Washington like Ben Johnson did. But I do think guys like Belichick and Vrabel are like, I could come in this league anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like these young cats. Like Jim Harbaugh, I said for years, he's not in the NFL because he don't want to be in the NFL right now. As soon as he gets the opportunity that he wants, he's going to go because he's that good of a head coach. That's what I think's happening. Like you saw with Ben Johnson, he was like, I'm not loving it. I'll stay here for another year, and someone's going to come calling next year. I'm fine. I think Belichick and Vrabel are potentially doing the same thing. Now, why they're doing it to Washington and Seattle and some of these jobs, but I don't believe that Bill and Vrabel couldn't get a job.
Well,
I just don't believe it.
Same thing happened with Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo did the same thing last year and turned down a job 3 years ago, here in the Eagles, because I heard that they loved him. He was probably their number one pick, you know, as far as who they wanted to bring in. He said, "Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna stay defensive coordinator here." And the reason why is because he knew that they were gonna pass it down to him once Belichick left. I think Belichick, man, we're talking about a guy 70 years old. I think he's kind of lost touch with these younger generation, and he really just doesn't want to do it unless he gets total control. And nobody's really looking at that, you know. Most guys don't want you to come into the organization. Just change everything around. And Bill's going to want to change everything around.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I don't think Bill wants to rebuild. That's my thing. I think Bill's like,
I'm going to go to
a situation where it's like Brady, like all that talk about Brady or Belichick. Brady went to a perfect situation where it's just like, they're all ready to go to the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay. I think Bill's doing the same thing. Like, I'll wait next year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Philly job opens. Maybe Dallas job opens. I'm going to go somewhere where all this talent is open. A team that went to the playoffs but didn't get over the hump, so they fired their head coach. I'm going to go to that situation. And I think Vrabel has the same mindset. I think the biggest thing for me is a non-coaching move in Ben Johnson. I feel like I was ready to come in here and say the team that's going to have the biggest drop-off is the Detroit Lions.
You think?
Not anymore because Ben Johnson's returning.
Oh.
Right? Like, one of the biggest things, and Philadelphia knows this, and a lot of and other great franchises know it, San Francisco, New England, when you have a head coach that isn't your offensive coordinator or your defensive coordinator and you are the CEO of the job, the coordinators mean everything, right? And coordinators leave, and it's on you to replace that coordinator with another great coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was going to be hard for them to replace Ben Johnson
if
he would have left. So to me, Detroit was going to take a step back because of that, because it was just like, are you, like, again, because we're in Philadelphia, you use the Philadelphia example,
When Steichen leaves, it was like, do you know as a CEO how to pick, and as a GM how to pick the next coordinator to keep mm-hmm. your team at this level? Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh is losing his defensive coordinator. John Harbaugh has been doing this forever. Mm-hmm. He knows how to eye younger coordinator talent. I don't know if Detroit was going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So to me, they were going to take a step back, but now they can take a step forward mm-hmm. now that they have their offensive coordinator back. I think that was huge for the city of Detroit.
I agree, and I think it's why a big reason he stayed. He felt that, you know, this is all speculation or assumption, but I'm guessing he felt that they had unfinished business, you know, going out the way that they did, and that they're still going to have a lot of the pieces that they had this season. And if he left, that would be one more piece that they'd have to move forward and, you know, still be a good team that competes next season. But I was shocked. I was shocked that Ben Johnson announced that he was going to stay. But I also respect it. It means that he believes in his team, wants to stay where he's at.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they went about keeping the guys that they have there. You know, they're going to keep Aaron Glenn. You know, Johnson's going to stay there. So they might be ready to run it back again. You know, I mean, I would say – I know they'll win their division. Even with Green Bay there, I think they'll win the division.
Yeah. Again, great job by them and Ben Johnson returning. That's going to be again, I think that's going to be tremendous. Detroit's going to be on their way back. Any other coaching hires that you looked around and said, that's your favorite, or just, that's interesting?
I mean, even with the Eagles, you know, looking at what they did. You know, Vic Fangio, Moore. They got two veteran guys come in, especially Fangio. And the biggest thing with him, he's a teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this team needs from a defensive standpoint. They need to learn how to play defense. They totally, were confused with two different systems. It's just not going to work. But Vic Fangio will come in, teach these young guys how to play the game and play the game fundamentally sound. There was nothing fundamental almost the entire season that they were trying to do. Until they get taught the basics, the fundamentals of playing defense, you know, because, I mean, if you look at what they have as far as personnel on the defensive side of the ball, this is a 3-4 team, 3-4 front. And that's what Vic's going to come in and implement. They're going to value the linebacker and the safety because that's what Vic Fangio does.
That's big.
He's going to bring in linebackers. He had Pat Swilling, those guys, you know, Ricky Jackson, one of the best linebacking cores in that dome back then. He's going to make sure they do that. When he was at Khalil Mack when he was with the Bears. You know, he wants great defensive linebackers.
He was with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman at that San Francisco 49ers.
Exactly. And look at the safeties they had. They had two.
Yeah, Deshaun Golson, I think, at the time, or I forget who the other individual was.
They had
real safeties. Let me say what Kev put real quick because it's hilarious in the chat. Vangio was with the Bears in 2018, and they were phenomenal.
Yep.
He left. They regressed immediately, he says.
Exactly.
Guess who took over?
Who?
Sean Desai.
Yep. So, and that's what I love most about the Fangio hiring. It's the Eagles have been hiring his disciples because they couldn't get the real thing, and now they got the Godfather coming in. So exactly. I love that. I also love Kellen Moore. I think he's great. Fun fact, I started my broadcast career out in Boise, Idaho. Kellen Moore was quarterback for Boise State. The guy is a god in Boise. So I feel like I've known of Kellen Moore for like over a decade. Obviously, people who pay attention to college football knew him as well.
How the heck
but
did you get out there?
I don't know. I have family out there, and it's a beautiful place. Boise, beautiful place.
Hey,
Barrett, Idaho is not Iowa. It is the Pacific Northwest. Very mountainous, very pretty. But, he is a legend out there.
Hey, Barrett, here's what players don't understand. When journalists start their careers, it's in places like Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
For $20,000.
I've heard a lot of people do, like, Boise, Idaho,
Random spots in West Virginia. We've done it.
Like, as far as markets go,
Lubbock,
it actually isn't bad because it's now market, I think, like, it's in top 100. It could be worse. Like, I just refuse to go to, like, I know people who go to, like, the middle of nowhere in Louisiana, in Alabama, a place like that. Like, Boise was at least, like, outdoorsy and pretty.
I just started my career in a number 4 market.
Exactly.
Yeah, must be nice for you Barry.
There's going to be a great spot. Boise, Idaho, Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, wow. That's like.
Lubbock is
Texas Tech.
nowhere. There's nothing there.
But there, here's the thing about small markets. See, so you got to have at least, if, especially if you do sports, like a big school, a big football program. Like you said, you have Texas Tech there. I had Boise State at least to cover. And they don't have an NFL team. So like that is their,
that is,
which is why Kellen Moore was, even after he had been at Boise State, he was in car commercials out there. Mm-hmm. He's doing ads. Like he is a god out there.
Kev said he started his career in Chicago.
Oh,
see, that's number
that's
two,
nice,
right?
Three.
But he might have been radio,
it's
though.
Three.
See, TV, you three. Gotta.
Yeah.
TV, you gotta go into one of these little, unfortunately. Radio, you can still figure your way out into a top market.
Well, let's talk about that Chicago team. They changed. They keep their head coach, so he's going to be a CEO coach, kind of like what we're doing here in Philadelphia.
Ben Johnson will be there next year. Don't worry about it.
You think?
But then you look at me. They got changed the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. And quarterbacks coach and passing game quarterback. So Shane Waldron is the offensive coordinator. Eric Washington is the defensive coordinator. And then Kerry Joseph is the quarterback coach, with Thomas Brown being the passing coordinator. So they brought in three people to come in and try to get their quarterback going in the right direction. Do you like that pick? You like those guys coming in to Chicago?
Yeah. I think they're doing well. I think they're good picks. I'm not, you know. It doesn't make me go, they're going to be better than Green Bay or better coach than Matt LaFleur and those guys, because I still feel like you got to get a better head coach in there.
Right.
And a quick, before we end this, prediction for me, Jim Harbaugh will win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
Wow. I could see that.
Wow.
Stamp it.
In 5 years.
Yes. In 5 years. He'll win a Super Bowl and go down as a top six head coach of all time.
Hmm. Bro, the Chargers are the Chargers.
And I'm talking about if you combine college football and NFL football, he'll be considered.
I think he'll help Justin Herbert out a lot. I think he'll finally make all of us non-Chargers fans see why Chargers fans are so obsessed with Justin Herbert, because I haven't seen it yet.
They'll still be Chargers.
We got to wrap it up. And then next segment, we'll give our final Super Bowl stories, talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl as things lead up. And as a person who went to the Super Bowl, I needed you to tell us how things are leading up to a Super Bowl. All right, Barrett Brooks, Sean Bell, Devin Caney, the Sunday Spread. All right, final segment presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network. Devin Caney, Barrett Brooks, Sean Bell, early Super Bowl. Let's talk about, you know, some of our early thoughts. Well, first of all, let's say the 49ers are favored by two. Mm-hmm. Surprised that they're favored?
I am. I am actually surprised. Simply because, you know, Big Red has been here before. Patrick Mahomes has won a Super Bowl before. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the Super Bowl champs from last year. I thought that would give them an edge over the – even though the 49 team is probably the better team as a whole, I just think the coaching and the best player in the NFL would swing it a little more towards the Chiefs instead of the 49ers.
Especially how the 49ers have played in their two playoff games.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think it, like you mentioned, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the whole Chiefs team will always have that. They've been there before. They're
right,
they're very used to it. It's becoming routine for them. But I think what will make this match, this Super Bowl matchup, interesting is the 49ers, while they weren't there last season, they have, as Sean mentioned earlier in the show, like they've been in these high pressure situations before. They've been under the bright lights of playoff football, of NFC championship games, of the Super Bowl just a few years ago. So I don't think that that's going to be as big of a factor as it was, you know, you look at last year's Super Bowl with the Eagles. They had a head coach who was playing in his first Super Bowl, a quarterback who was playing it. Like, everyone was playing in their first Super Bowl aside from a select few. So I think that kind of evens the playing field, no pun intended on that one. I learned my lesson last week. I was so convinced that the Ravens were going to beat the Chiefs because the Chiefs had not played well. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Chiefs this past regular season. Like, they were not playing. Patrick Mahomes was having meltdowns on the field after games at refs and yelling at Josh Allen about bad calls. Like, I thought he had lost it. And now here they are going back to the Super Bowl. So I learned that never count the Chiefs out, as much as I hate to say it.
I want you to.
For that reason, I am shocked that the 49ers are favorites, because it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid. I learned my lesson last week. You can never count them out.
Yeah, shocked. And again, I'm shocked even as a guy who predicting the 49ers this entire time at the beginning of the season. 49ers haven't played well in the playoffs, but for a half and maybe a quarter in the Green Bay Packer game. While the Chiefs have balled mm-hmm. right? The Chiefs are back to what we expect the Chiefs to be. So, again, Super Bowl winners, all those other things. I'm surprised the 49ers are favorites in this game. Now, like you said, both teams have been here before. Like, the 49ers all the way back in 2019, but a lot of those players are still here. Mm-hmm. The coaching staff is
coaching
still there.
Coaching staff, yeah.
So they know how to go through that two-week span of crazy media, mm-hmm. and traveling, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, Kansas City does this all the time, so they're used to this. Barrett, explain to the people, what's it like going into the week of Super Bowl? All the things that change. I know players, like you said earlier, superstitious, routines, everything has to change. What's it like when you did it? Because some of these players, again, we saying these players have done it before, but, you know, you still got Rashee Rice. You still mm-hmm. got Brock Purdy. You still got a bunch of players who haven't been through it before. What's it like? What was it like then, and how did you deal with it? How do you figure this thing out and not mess up your mentals?
It was an unbelievable experience, you know. We didn't have that game in between. I mean, that break in between. Like, we finished playing the Broncos, and then we flew back. We played them on Saturday. We flew back, and we were out on Monday. You know, after the championship game, we beat up on the Broncos, and we're out that Monday, flew there. And it was cool because BC, Bill Cowher, our head coach, he wanted to separate us from all the hoopla of the Super Bowl. You know, it was different. You know, he had us out in Pontiac. You know, they had just built Ford Field, and he had us in the Yak, Pontiac. You know, that's where the old Silver Dome was. When I played for the Detroit Lions, that's where we played, in the Silver Dome, you know, mm-hmm. the old dome. And he had us in Pontiac. You know, Pontiac, out of all places. You know, we're that's like 30 minutes from downtown Detroit. You know, you gotta hump to get out there. And him putting us out there really kept us focused on the game at hand. You know, we went there for business. Wasn't no kicking it or anything like that. You know, I mean, we had ample opportunity to go out Tuesday, Wednesday night. We had a curfew on Thursday.
So did you go out?
Huh?
So did you go out?
Oh, no. I didn't go out. Okay. A lot of guys didn't go out. I mean, a lot of players.
Just check to see how disciplined you are.
Well, I mean, that's the nature of which we went out there. We wanted to make sure that Jerome Bettis, this is Bussy's hometown, Detroit, and it's his last game he's going to be playing. It ended up being my last regular season game also, but his last game playing, we had to send him away with a Super Bowl win, and his last game that he played and put on a uniform. So, you know, we had a whole different, like, before the game, we knew we were going to the Super Bowl. We knew we were going. I mean, in the playoffs, we had, we all got Jerome Bettis jerseys, his college jersey, 6 in the green of the Notre Dame, mm-hmm. Notre Dame green. Everybody on the team ordered them, and it took 3 weeks for them to get there. So we knew by week 4, once we qualified and got into the playoffs by beating Chicago, the last guy to qualify as a number 6 seed. We knew from that point on, everybody ordered their jersey. And when we stepped off the plane, we all had Jerome Bettis' jersey on because we knew we were going to Super Bowl. There was no way.
See, like, that makes me so nervous as a superstitious person. So were you guys were you that good that you were like, we're going to go? Like, there's no doubt.
We just knew that we had to send Bussy out.
Right.
On a high that, you know, nobody else could. You know, mm-hmm. we want to make sure. We knew he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but we want his last game to be a Super Bowl win. So we get off of these jerseys, you know, the number 6 jerseys. We know we're going to.
You know what's funny? Last year, during the playoffs, I had bought a 49er, like, T-shirt. Like, I like this T-shirt. I'm going to buy it. And obviously, you know what happened against the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. So this year, I was walking through the mall, and they have, you know, They put all – some of these sports stores put all the playoff teams that are still in it right in front. I was like, oh, I like that. Like, I saw a 49er thing. I said, oh, no. Yeah. No. I can't buy that. Last time I bought something during the playoffs, it didn't end well.
Well, so, yeah, but the discipline –
Sorry to cut off your story,
man. I mean, I'm just talking about a Super experience. The discipline that we had was just unreal. Like, going to the media day, instead of the whole entire team going to media day – we sent our captains and a few other players to the media day. The rest of us, we stood back in the back, and we let them go out there. We stood back in the back and just chilled because we had business to take care of.
Mm. I like
it. You know what I'm saying? It was about our business, though.
So no players getting arrested for speeding or being in the strip club. You know, all these other people. Out.
Well, you guys remember Super Bowl 52 when Malcolm Butler mysteriously didn't play. It was
right.
Butler, right?
Yep, yeah. Butler.
And then it later came out that it was because he broke curfew, and Bill Belichick did not mess around. He said, "You broke curfew. I told you, you ain't playing. You broke curfew."
I'm sorry, that was so stupid to me. Your secondary's getting lit up. It's the Super Bowl. All that other stuff gotta wait. Like,
but I think that shows like the character that Bill Belichick. Like he doesn't take any BS,
and that's why he doesn't have a job.
And that's
right
why
now.
He lost.
Yep.
Come on now.
What are you doing here, Bill? It's an amazing week, you know what I'm saying, leading up to it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the swag they gave us was unreal also. I mean, it was nothing like walking down the ramp. And as I'm walking down the ramp, I'm walking next to my kicker. And Jeff Reed turns around. He said, he's calling me Pa. I don't know why he called me Paz. He said, "Hey, Paz, when I kick this ball off, imagine all the cameras and stuff." And I thought about it. It clicked in like, man, that's about to go down. I'm about to play.
Why would he
Super
say
Bowl.
That?
Right. You know what I'm saying?
That's
I'm like,
the last thing
that
I wanted
might
to
make
hear.
Somebody nervous.
Right?
You know, like,
no, you're supposed to say the opposite.
Right.
And there are no cameras.
It hit me. And as I walked down and I looked out there, I see all the cameras and see everybody out there. Look, Aretha Franklin's over there. I see Snoop and
P.
Diddy over there. I look up, I see the Rolling Stones sitting.
What's
right
the
here.
One celebrity? Maybe we save this for next week. What's the one celebrity that if they're in the spot, you would act a fool? Like, that would make you ball out the most. Or make you nervous the most, depending on how you deal with it.
Probably Jordan. Because I've been in his presence. I've kicked it with him before. You know, he's my frat brother, Omega Psi Phi fraternity.
Uh-huh.
He's my dude. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Good guy. I've been with him before. But just being around him.
Jordan would
saying?
Make you.
Being, you know, it's like, you're going to go out there, you want to be the greatest because uh-huh. you knew he was the greatest.
Dev, is there one celebrity for you, like if you were playing and mm-hmm. they were courtside or on the side that make you nervous or hyped? Because you know the rules, like Jordan Poole, if there's a baddie on the sideline, he goes crazy. Like, is there somebody that make you be like, oh my goodness?
I don't know. Maybe come back to me next week. I'll think about it. Right now, no, I don't get like starstruck, really.
Not even for me? No.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
It doesn't have to be starstruck. It could be like
if it was a sport.
Oh my goodness, I better play great.
Like if I was playing football, it would have to be like a football player. You know what I'm saying? Like if Tom Brady, maybe because like Jordan, like if the one of the greatest of all time is watching you, that would make me like, oh my god.
We'll go to this next week. That'll be a question next week. We can.
I need to think about it.
All right, we all ponder. Because I know if I'm playing a basketball game and Coco Jones is on the sidelines, look up Coco Jones, I'm dropping 50. I'm shooting every time. All right, Sunday spread. This is how we do. All right, Barry Brooks, Sean Bell, Devin Caney, getting prepared for the Super Bowl. So we'll be back next week with a lot of bets to make. All right, we out.
This is the Sunday Spread with Super Bowl champion Barrett Brooks, Devin Caney, and your host, Sean Bell, on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart.
That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.